DW Africa Link.
Malawi is on edge. Citizens have cast their ballots, but the nation awaits in suspense for the final results. The atmosphere seems heavy with anticipation conversations taking place in markets, bus stations, and village squares. The main question Malawians are asking is, who will lead us next as president? As a Zimbabwean, this moment feels very familiar. We've known the long nights of uncertainty, the restless counting, and the nervous silence that lingers before announcements. Malawi's story is unfolding, and it matters to the whole region. That's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from and on Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Malawi's vote comes amid inflation, food shortages, and climate shocks, with the race centered on President Lazarus Chakwera and his predecessor, Peter Mutharika, while Joyce Banda, still shadowed by the 2013 Cashgate scandal, joins Dalitso Kabambe, Atupele Muluzi, and Vice President Michael Unsi in the field. Provincial tallies from 9 of 36 councils put Mutharika near 51% and Chakwera around 39% in their fourth phase off, as delays, arrests, and alleged tampering stoke public anxiety. On this podcast, we will unpack what's at stake with our Malawi correspondent Miriam Kaliza and political scientist Chimwemwe Tsitsi of the Malawi University of Business and Applied Sciences. Miriam, I'll start with you as our eyes and ears on the ground. What can you tell us so far about the election results? What do the provisional figures really indicate?
Thank you very much, Jose. So far, the provisional figures are showing a very tight race between the two leading contenders. That's the incumbent, Lazarus Chakwera, and former president of the DPP, Peter Mutharika. Both of them are securing strongholds, are leading in their strongholds. However, no official winner has been declared yet. As of yesterday, Mutharika was taking a slight lead over Chakwera, but then we're still waiting for the electoral body, Malawi Electoral Commission, to verify who the winner is at the National Notary Center. But it's really a tight race.
Let's talk about the numbers, Miriam, before I turn to Chimwemwe. How are they looking percentage-wise, even also other candidates? We also saw Joyce Banda was amongst the presidential candidates.
The thing is, the Malawi Congress Party has its own tally center. The DPP has its own tally center, and the numbers are confusing. Everybody's bringing on the social media, in the traditional media, the different numbers. But the National Tally Center, I think, has now tabulated just above 15% currently. So it's not really giving the true picture, because 13 out of 36, it's really on the lower side. We still have a way to go.
Let me turn to you, Chimwemwe, as our political analyst. In your many years on earth as a Malawian, have you ever experienced such an election?
I would say no. The reason being that you recall that it was in 2019, after the nullification of the presidential vote, that we adopted the current system whereby the winner has to get absolute majority. That's 50% plus one. In essence, this is the first election on the electoral calendar where we are using this voting system. Because for the 2020 fresh presidential election, I would say it was not necessarily the one scheduled on our electoral calendar, but it was an election necessitated by the court ruling in nullifying the 2019 election. And it was an election That was conducted, yes, using the 50% plus one voting system. However, it was not yet clearly stipulated as to what would happen in the event that none of the contestants got over 50%, because the president at that time, former president, who is the president of the DBP and one of the leading contenders in this election, Professor Peter Mutharika, had not yet assented to a bill that Parliament passed to necessitate that in the event that none of the contestants gets the 50% plus one, then would go into a presidential runoff. So we would say that it is for the first time that we're experiencing this, and it is a tight race. And at the same time, most Malawians may not, as of now, really be conversant with the, what would happen even in the event that one of the two leading contenders is declared as not having won the election, whereby they would have to go into a presidential runoff. I think some people are still of the view that whosoever gets a lead is automatically elected president. But it could happen that we have a situation whereby none of the two has gotten over 50% plus one. Then people have to be prepared that there could be a runoff election.
So you mean to tell me all the figures we are seeing awash on social media platforms saying Mutharika is got 53, 54, whatever percentage, all those are just cooked figures, Chimwemwe?
No, for me, I wouldn't say they are cooked figures, but I would say that with the propaganda having captured the social media at the moment, it becomes a bit confusing to know which is which when you look at what the followers of the DPP, the followers of Professor Mutharika are posting, and even what the followers of MCP, who are followers of Lazarus Chakwera, Dr. Lazarus Chakwera, are posting. So as Miriam said, it becomes a bit uncertain as to what actually it's the reality on the ground. Yes, I would agree that even figures that were released by conventional media showed that Mutharika was winning this election with over 50%. But when you look at what has been transpiring at the Malawi Electoral Commission, whereby the chairperson emphasized the fact that they will make sure that before they announce the results of the election, they've verified all the votes, and already we have a number of outcomes from some district and the town councils that have been hailed by the commission for further verification, because some figures cannot tally. And you look at the fact that these district councils are the district councils where Mutharika is purportedly leading, then one comes to a conclusion that perhaps it is not yet decided in as far as the official results are concerned, because we are yet to see what kind of what outcome we are going to have from the Electoral Commission with regard to the verification process that they've gone into in relation to the concerned councils.
And it's still with you, Chimwemwe. How would you evaluate the overall conduct of these elections? Was the electoral process better prepared and executed compared to previous elections?
I would say that these elections were better prepared and executed compared to previous elections, because if we are to go by what happened, especially in 2019, whereby the TPEX, which is a fluid that is used to erase whatever was originally written, so that on top new figures could be written. One looks at the current election as something which is a bit more credible. when you look at the tally sheets. The tally sheets do not have any erasures in most cases. If anything, what some political players are complaining of is that the tally sheets that are being captured into the MEC system in some cases are not the originals that were signed by political party monitors. And some are even alleging that what is being captured in the electronic system, it's not exactly what the hard copies are showing in terms of tallying. So that's the discrepancies that are being alleged or reported at the moment, which is a bit different from what happened in 2019. But perhaps the challenge that I've observed is that in some cases, political parties may not have been vigilant in monitoring the election, especially the tallying, the following up in terms of how figures are matching from whatever they may have recorded at a particular polling station to the constituency tally center all the way to the district tally center, because that's where it is being alleged that in the course of transferring these results from one point to another, that's where some people are observing some changes in the figures. So that's perhaps the discrepancy that is there. It could be to do with the challenges of the presiding officers or else the poor monitoring mechanisms that were put in place by the political parties. However, one would also say that the very fact that these political parties are pointing out these anomalies may also show that they had a robust monitoring system to an extent that they were able to notice these discrepancies. So all in all, I would say that this one has been a better election, especially with regard to the prospects of the integrity of the electoral outcome that we have through the mechanism whereby the Malawi Electoral Commission, contrary to what used to happen in the past, has the full 8 days through which it has to verify the results and thereafter announce the outcome, compared to the past whereby the Electoral Commission had only 48 hours within which they had to announce the results.
That was actually going to be my question for you, Miriam, that what has caused the delay, but Chimwemwe has already responded to that, that this seems like they're really trying to make sure that there are no mistakes and things are done properly. But now to the citizens, Miriam, a question that I've been seeing all over social media platforms, Twitter, is this the best Malawians could do? Bring back an over 80-year-old candidate, that is former President Mutharika, to lead them. I mean, looking at the numbers that are going around, we're not saying he's the president already, but chances are high, right? Because if you're looking at the figures, it looks like they're tallying. As well as I know, a lot of Malawians are saying Chakwera has failed them. Yeah, there were other candidates as well, Joyce Banda. Are there no young people in Malawi to lead the nation?
That's a very good one. But also, that question could be based, responded to citizens based on the side of the coin they are on. If you are a supporter of Malawi Congress Party, they would say, you know, our candidate is better off because, I mean, he's a bit younger, he's 70 plus and stuff like that. And, you know, Mutharika is old, is frail, and he will not maybe be leading us. Somebody else is going to be doing the job for him. Behind the scenes. But then the question that you've asked, that are there no younger Malawians? They are there, but as you can see, they are thrown far away on the backlog or the list of the 17 contenders. We have young people, 3-4 young ones, but maybe they're not as mature as they should be in politics. That's why the two contenders are over 80, Mutharika is over 85, is still, you know, being significant in today's world.
Right. Chimwemwe, you also voted. I am so sure of that. I'll throw the same question to you. Why Malawians would consider an over 85-year-old leader? Dr. Chakwera is also over 70. There were young candidates on the ballot paper. Also a female candidate, but of course she's a former president again, Joyce Banda. How would you assess her performance, and also why the young candidates might not have done well on the ballot paper?
All right, maybe I have to begin with Dr. Joyce Banda, the former president of the country. In my view, I think Dr. Joyce Banda, during her tenure, her two-year tenure, the country experienced the what is known as a Cashgate scandal, whereby a lot of public funds were being stolen, and there were people found with the banknotes in their car boots, and there were people that were being paid huge sums of money by the government for contracts that never existed, or for works that they never performed. So that is what tarnished the image, and I think Malawians still have some memories about their experiences during that time. Apart from that, we are also looking at how the various political parties are at the moment here in Malawi. I think it has been somehow coming to reality that two major contenders in terms of our political parties here in Malawi is the MCP and the DBB. So it may not necessarily be a question of whether somebody is old, is young, or is a woman, but it is a question of what kind of political party is that person contesting for. I am sure if, for example, Dr. Joyce Banda was a contestant on the DBB ticket or MCP ticket, should have amassed a lot of votes. So too, for the young contenders that participated in this election as candidates. So for me, I think if women or indeed young people would like to rise to the occasion in as far as contesting for the presidency meaningfully is concerned, perhaps they should vie for leadership positions in these two major political parties, so that once they become candidates, presidential candidates for these parties, they would have their chances of winning such an election very, very high.
Right, right. And Miriam, there were arrests reported last week. What exactly were they related to, and how do they connect to the conduct of the polls?
We were told by the police IG in the last update by the Malawi Electoral Commission that the arrests were linked to alleged attempts to tamper with election materials and also incidents of violence in certain hotspots. Authorities, they say that it was done to safeguard the integrity of the process. While concerning, these incidents did not significantly disrupt the overall conduct of the polling processes.
And Chimwemwe, as the country now awaits the final results, how should citizens and institutions prepare? You know, regardless of who wins, what major challenges will the next president face as well?
Yeah, for me, I think the citizens have to prepare for there are a number of things. First of all, they have to prepare for an outcome that may be contrary to their expectation. I'm saying this because some of the MCP supporters have actually been propagating that what the DBB is doing, it's premature celebration, and that there could be a turnaround. And at the same time, the DBB has also been propagating that for them, or whatever the case, they've had a landslide and there is no presidential runoff. So it could be either way that maybe even if Professor Peter Mutharika may take a lead in the official results, perhaps that lead may not be enough to guarantee his presidency, and we may end up going into a presidential runoff, depending on how the verification process comes out to be. But if the unofficial results are anything to go by, it is obvious that Mutharika may win this election. However, even if he is declared a winner, I think it would also depend on how much evidence on the alleged rigging the MCP, the United Democratic Front, another political party that has lodged a complaint with MEC, may have at their disposal with the, which they can raise an issue in court, and it may lead to a decision of the court, which may even be similar to what happened in 2019. But going forward, I think the issues that dominated this election during campaign, which were mostly related to the status of our economy at the moment, Miriam has talked about scarcity of fuel, and she's also talked about the scarcity of foreign currency and the high inflation. All these may still be there for some time, even where you have a good economic management system, because I think the economic challenges cannot be solved overnight. So we may be experiencing these challenges for some 2 to 3 years to come until we settle down economically. So the challenge that the leader is likely to face, whether it is continuation of the current government or indeed the DBP government comes into power, as it's most likely to be the situation. We are likely to face these economic challenges until some time, 2-3 years down the line. However, perhaps the perception of Malawians, especially where government changes, may help propel a positive mindset and a better approach with regard to an economic turnaround for the country.
Now, Miriam, as we wrap up our discussion, if no candidate secures more than 50% of the vote, when would a runoff be scheduled?
Okay, according to the law, if no candidate achieves an outright majority, the Electoral Commission would be then obliged to hold a runoff. This is done within 60 days of the announcement of the results. Now, that would set the stage for another decisive contest between the two top candidates, that's Mutharika and Chakwera.
Right. And Chimwemwe, also your parting words as a political analyst, what should be the top priorities for the incoming administration?
For me, I think the top priorities would include ensuring that they revamp the country's economy. One way of doing that is to ensure that they enhance the productivity of the country. We are at the moment a country that is too much into importation and consumption, and there is need for us to go into production and the exportation of goods if we are to turn around the country's fortunes economically.
Well, you've heard for yourselves the situation at the moment on ground in Malawi with DW's correspondent Miriam Kaliza and political scientist Chimwemwe Tsitsi of the Malawi University of Business and Applied Sciences. Thank you so much both for joining us.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
In short, Malawi's 2025 election has become a high-stakes contest between old rivals Peter Mutharika and Lazarus Chakwera, with other candidates struggling for visibility. As provisional results trickle in and tensions rise over delays and allegations of interference, Malawians and their neighbors in the region wait anxiously for clarity on who will lead the nation through its economic and political challenges. And that's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember, you can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Kalechi. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
For mind.